This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2038. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. On this edition, recorded June 11th, Antarctica, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, China, Cuba, Germany, Iran, Japan, Korea North and South, New Zealand, Sarawak, Somalia, Spain, South Sudan, Sweden, Taiwan, UK, USA, Vanuatu, Zanzibar, plus AM stereo, DTV, QSL site, Who Needs High Power Shortwave, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Dr. Hans-Jürg Wiener in Germany reminds us of the annual special broadcast from the BBC for members of the British Antarctic Survey. It's always on June 21st, we think, although this year the solstice in some time zones is already on June 20th. This year the 21st is a Sunday, and it's at 21:30 UT for half an hour via BBC stations. No definite word about this year, but last year the frequencies ultimately used were 5875 and 9455 via Wolverton, UK. That would be a problem with WRMI now, and 7360 via Ascension. And furthermore, last year there was a test 1 week before on some of these and other frequencies, so we hope to have more info about this next week. 2 weeks ago, we reported that Radio Clube do Pará, Belém, Brazil, 4885, was relaying Radio Bandeirantes, São Paulo, before and after 05 UT, IDing only for the other station. Manuel Mendes in Spain has monitored further and reports that was again happening on Thursday, May 28th. But during the same hours, on Sunday, May 31st, it was back to their own programming called Clube na Madrugada of Music. And about not one, but two Brazilians now active on 6160. I was concerned that there might be interference to WBCQ's newest frequency, but apparently neither one of them is on the air during our evenings. Célio Romais in Brazil followed up that Radio Rio Mar Manaus is on the air only at 11 to 14 UT, according to a monitor in the area, while Rádio Boa Vontade near him in Porto Alegre runs from 10 until 23 UT. At least that's according to the ALCI NDXC list. More from Manuel Mendes using remote receivers. He says Radio Rio Mar on 6160.1 was heard June 9th from 09:30 until 10:35. After its own music show at 10:00, it joined the Radio Bandeirantes network for news. And Radio Boa Vontade was not on before 10:40, but the next day, June 10th, Boa Vontade came on at 10:30 on 6160.3, interfering with Rio Mar. Another follow-up to last week about World's Last Chance radio testing via Bulgaria. It's monitored by Ivo Ivanov there. They were heard on various dates in early June between 07 and 10 UT on 9700, 11600, or 15700, sometimes in Arabic and sometimes but not always audible on the second harmonics. That was through June 7th, but as of June 8th, they were no longer being heard, so perhaps the test had concluded. However, on June 8th, Ivo was hearing a different relay via Bulgaria, Radio Dabanga on 11640, and also on its second harmonic via groundwave 23280 for the broadcast in Darfur Arabic between 1529 and 1627. Richard Langley has been trying to clarify the status of Radio Canada International. Is it still a shortwave station? Very indirectly, thanks to low-power relays via shortwave service in Germany. He recorded the Sunday, June 7th broadcast on 3985 via the remote in Holland. And at 1730 UT, instead of Radio Tirana in German on the schedule, he heard the link online from RCI. But as Jean-Michel Aubier pointed out, it's a continuing repeat of their pre-Christmas edition. Alan Rowe in England replies, the same pre-Christmas edition had been repeated every week throughout January and February, right up to mid-March when I stopped monitoring. I emailed shortwave service twice to alert them to the problem, but it never got fixed. Then Richard Langley got this reply from Mark Montgomery at RCI. I do not know when the show will be back. Most of us are not even allowed in the building. However, there are programs, about 10 or so produced after Christmas, that they could cycle through instead of running the Christmas one all the time, says Richard Langley. There's one less French-language medium-wave station in Montreal. Hans-Jürg Biener forwards news from the CRTC that CHRF 980 asked that its license be revoked. For over a year now, the China Radio International Portuguese service has instead been filled with nothing but Chinese music, including the one we can easily hear, the relay via Cuba, at 23 to midnight UT on 13650. In fact, on June 5th, I was enjoying that nice instrumental Chinese music, not the raucous fire dragon kind, to accompany my nap. However, on June 7th, when I tried again, the modulation was cutting off and on continuously, making it totally unlistenable, but who cares? Something's always wrong at Radio Cuba, as well as CRI. In communication of the British DX Club, Roman Pankov in Bulgaria talks about the strange content of the CRI Bulgarian service at 18:30, 20:30, and 11 UT. Since early February, the same recordings of two programs have been broadcast, Economic Comment and Chinese Language Lessons. It seems the same situation is probably applying to broadcasts in Romanian and Serbian. And CRI in Russian broadcasts 20 hours per day on short and medium wave, but their first airing of news is at 15 UT, and this is repeated every hour until 14 the next day. It's not unusual to hear Cuban harmonics around the 12 megahertz area, but during this peak of the sporadic E season, much higher frequencies might be radiated and propagated. In one of my log reports, which you can find via worldofradio.com, Hauser log roundups, I compute 65 possible harmonics from all the active shortwave frequencies from Radio Havana Cuba, relays of China, and the two domestic stations. I'm just going to mention the very highest ones here, and perhaps the most likely since they are second harmonics, which would be possible, of course, only when the fundamentals are on the air, one half of these frequencies. 31460, 3740, 3460, 3280, and 3240. Iran International TV from London, relayed on shortwave via Armenia, is reported by Ivo Ivanov at 04 to 12 UT on 11570, and then it switches to 11550 from 12 until 14. Things may be getting back to somewhat normal at Radio Japan. Ivo Ivanov also notes that some of their language services have resumed programming in the proper language rather than inserting news in English toward the beginning, such as in Persian, French, and Arabic, as monitored June 9th and 10th. Here's Ron Howard's weekly update on the jump-around frequencies of the clandestines from South to North Korea as of Monday, June 8th. VOP on 3480, 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520, and 6600, monitored at 0945, and a few minutes earlier, VOH was on 3985, 4890, 5995, 6255, 6350, and 9105. The third one, Voice of Freedom on 5920, continues with fairly good reception, and no jamming on that or its former frequency, 6135. However, Voice of Freedom does have a collision with another clandestine. They're not very well coordinated. Now, starting at 1405 on 5920, Shokaze's relay of Furusato no Kaze. And furthermore, on Thursday, June 11th, Ron says Shokaze broadcasts were not in English as usual on that day only, at 13 UT on 6040 and 6090, but in Japanese and Korean, perhaps due to special programming marking the death of Shigeru Yokota, a prominent activist for the return of abductees from North Korea. WRMI has a new relay of Radio New Zealand, confirmed UT Thursday, June 11th at 0100 on 9955. It's the Correo Pacifica newscast, which is also on WRN to North America at the same hour. Not clear why this is being relayed once a week in English to South America. Last week we had last-minute news from Ron Howard that Radio Nyawa Sarawak was no longer being heard on 11890 at 10UT, nor found on the web. Zaharias Liangas in Greece, who's especially interested in Malaysia, follows up. He says, nothing via Bandung or Philippines at 10:50 UT on 11890. That was June 5th, but instead he found that it's apparently merged with or been renamed or gone back to the previous name, Radio Free Sarawak, because there is a website of that name, .org, all one word, which said, in translation, our show will take a short break and will be back on June 13th. And he says Nyawa's Facebook site is also renamed. It is, after the usual facebook.com/, one word, Radio Free Sarawak. And it's now available all previous posts from Radio Nyawa Sarawak, as well as Free Sarawak. The more he says, the audio links there are working. Meanwhile, the pro-government stations from or to Sarawak are available. At 11:05 UT, 11665 was off, but 9835 was poorly audible, although with a siren jammer. At 12:05, 11665 was also working and heard at 12:11 UT. About Warsan Radio in Somalia, Bruce Churchill in California reports, I heard from Hassan Toube at the station via WhatsApp that they're moving from 7750 upper sideband to 7600. He did have a station there via remote in New Zealand in 1829, but it turned out to be Sound of Hope, already on 7600. And on that date, there was still a signal on 7750 until it went off at 1915, but he couldn't be sure whether that was still Warsan Radio. Hold it, just in from Bruce Churchill, as of 1830 UT, June 11th, Warsan Radio has moved for real this time to 7110 USB in the ham band, being heard nicely from a remote receiver in New Zealand from TuneIn at 1800 UT. Lots of talking and some Somali Horn of Africa music. Sinpo 34443. English broadcasts from Spain continue to be resumed Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 22 to 2230 UT on 9690 and one or three others. Alan Rowe got this reply from Allison Hughes herself about their situation. For the English language broadcast, Justin Coe and I are each working from home and record at the station on Thursdays for Justin and Tuesdays for me, to ensure there are never more than 30% of the staff in the building at any one time. I've been getting good reception of Radio Tamazo for South Sudan via Madagascar at 0330 to 430 on 11650. It happens to be aimed onward toward North America. According to Ivo Ivanov, they have an English newscast Wednesdays and Saturdays at 0415 to 0425. So I made a point of checking for that on Wednesday, June 10th, but they stayed in Juba Arabic. Except for OK, the interviewer said when he started each response. And there was an unnecessary break in transmission for a minute at 0430 before their sibling station, Radio Dabanga, could get underway on the same frequency and same parameters. Mike Terry sends advance news of this year's annual transmission on Alexanderson Day with the Alexanderson alternator from Sweden on VLF 17.2 kHz, SAQ, Sunday, July 5th. There'll be two transmissions, warming up earlier and starting the broadcast at 09 and 12 UT. This year, because of the pandemic, there will be no visitors to the station, but there will be live coverage of those events on their YouTube channel. For further details, see alexander.n.se. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and giganticertz, World of Radio 2038. A non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Ron Trotto, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. Not necessarily in U.S. funds, as PayPal will convert. One may also contribute via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. In Deneb Radio DX via Rusty X, Konstantin Barsinkov in St. Petersburg reports about Sound of Hope, Taiwan. At the end of last year, I corresponded a lot with Yi Chun. I sent about a dozen reports from video receptions. Each time it turned out to be a signal not of Sound of Hope, but of China National Radio jamming this station. So I began to compare using web SDRs. I tuned in to CNR frequencies in the databases and compared them to SOH and everywhere the CNR program was running. In addition, 1 kilowatt from Taiwan is not likely to be heard. Here's a response I got from Mr. Yi Chun. I am Yi Chun from Taiwan. I thank you so much for your reply, but I listened to all your clips and I still make sure they were from Chinese Communist Party interference. They say they were Sound of China. It's so upsetting to us to get so many interferences from the CCP. They don't allow people to get the truth from news from outside. But we will still try our best to send message to China. They need hope from us. Hope to meet you on the air soon, Yi Chun. BBC World Service in English has shown up on some unscheduled and unregistered frequencies from unknown transmitter sites. Ivo Ivanov found them on 11965, June 10th, between 13 and 16 UT. And Jorge Freitas in Brazil was hearing them on an unlisted 11800, just before 10 UT, on June 10th. David Cole forwards a New York Times story of June 4th that the U.S. Senate has finally confirmed Trump's man, Michael Pack, to head the U.S. Agency for Global Media, which of course includes the Voice of America. This has been after a very long delay. For example, because of his ties with Steve Bannon. Kim Elliott, former audience research officer at the Voice of America, wrote in his NASPA column a few days before this, "Here is my prediction, gain and again." Trump tweeted that Fox News is no longer the same and he's looking for a new outlet. PAC will create a new, yet another, U.S. AGM entity, a 24-hour English-language international news channel, to compete with CNN International, which has been a past target of Trump's vitriol. Its name will be something like Great America International News, or GAIN. Except for an international news channel, GAIN will broadcast a great deal of U.S. news, or sort of like news, many hours devoted to talking heads. More suited than reporters to extol virtues of administration policies and of Trump himself, and to heap scorn on administration antagonists, international and especially domestic. Meanwhile, a Trump confederate, who might also be a confederate with a capital C, will form a corporation. It might be called something like America's Great America International News again. This will have a simple business plan, take advantage of the public domain nature of GAIN, and broadcast it 24 hours via cable systems, DTH satellites, and LPTVs within the U.S. Inserting commercials, it will make lots of money since it has acquired all its content at no cost whatsoever. GAIN's international audiences may be perplexed by frequent discussions of Hillary's emails, Benghazi, Vince Foster, James Comey, Christopher Wray, Susan Rice, the unmasking of Michael Flynn, Obamagate, and of particular interest to African viewers, the conclusion that Barack Obama was grossly incompetent. In Trump's second term, there may be suspicions that GAIN is really just a pretense for again serving as Trump's new outlet, with the profits going Lord knows where. The State Department, USAGM IG, will, in the new order of things, look the other way. Besides, he'll be too busy walking the Pompeo's dogs and picking up their dry cleaning. Those are the words of Kim Elliott, slightly condensed by me. PAC is sure to fire VOA Director Amanda Bennett as soon as possible. Meanwhile, as of June 11th, she's still tweeting about all the excellent programming VOA provides. By careful remote monitoring, June 8th and 9th, on 7290 via remote receivers in Europe, I've discovered that the light warbling sound heard under World of Radio via IRRS, Mondays at 1801 UT, is not coming from that transmitter, but is instead actual interference from a utility on 7291. What's it doing in the broadcast band? Intruder. June 6th at 2138, I found a very weak and fading carrier on 15809.977. Just barely modulation, rock music at peaks. It must have been the seldom activated WTWW number 3 transmitter. Still heard past 2144 with a similarly poor signal to WWCR on 15825. Neither of them getting any sporadic e-boost over this path, despite lots of HF MUFs around the continent. It seems the last times I logged WTWW3 were on August 18th and 19th of 2018, also offset below 15810. By the way, at this early hour on Saturday, WTWW number 2 was already on the air at 2140, but not in parallel on 5085. All the other WTWW frequencies were silent. From June 6th through at least June 10th, Ron Howard in California upon Asiro Mar State Beach has been hearing Radio Vanuatu on 11835 on a much extended schedule, as early as 0255 UT. It used to come on at 0700. This means the fundamental, one-third of that frequency, 3945, has been extended as well. In fact, using that apparently, at least for the time being, instead of their other frequencies like 5040 or 2485, where they were last week. I've also heard it in Oklahoma, June 7th around 0630 and June 10th at 0547. And there's also a barely audible carrier on the second harmonic, 7890. In the British DX Club, Harald Kuhl in Germany reports hearing a very weak signal on 11735 before and after 18 UT, apparently with news in English at that time, which is apparently Zanzibar but running very reduced power. And so we've finished the alphabet with a few minutes to spare, as I'd hope. Time for some less alphabetical technical items, although mostly concerning the USA. This from Paul Staup in the Minnesota DX Club about AM stereo. He says the easiest way to get a Sequam radio is to buy a Chrysler AM-FM radio that supports it from the 80s or 90s vintage, probably on eBay. The GM Delco products of that era also had stereo car radios, but they were a different direction with the competing Kahn-Hazeltine method, which lost out to Motorola's Sequam, sort of like Betamax to VHS VCRs. So check out this great site for more, amstereo.org. Bob Bierman in Florida replies on the World of Radio I.O. Group, there is a reason Sequam is making a bit of a comeback. It seems the chips in the HD radios increasingly found in newer cars like mine not only decode HD but also decode Sequam. Stations using broadcast electronic solid-state transmitters can convert their transmitter to stereo with the addition of an $800 plug-in card and plus stereo audio processing and studio gear. And now about the transition to the new DTV standard ATSC 3.0. John Carver in remote mid-north Indiana, a rural area, is concerned whether he will still be able to get off-the-air television once ATSC 3 is in place. Will there be decoder boxes converting it to his analog TV set? I asked Doug Smith of W9WI.com to explain all about this. He says, they're talking decoders being something similar to a Chromecast, a small unit about the size of a pocket knife, with an HDMI plug on one end and an F connector on the other. It will plug into HDMI socket on an existing flat panel digital TV. And of course the antenna connects to the F connector. If your antenna is doing a decent job of receiving existing ATSC 1 digital broadcasts, it'll probably work even better for 3. These decoders will not, however, work with an analog TV. I can't rule out the possibility someone might make one that'll work with an analog TV, but I would not hold my breath. Right now, the FCC is requiring every station that begins broadcasting in ATSC 3.0 to arrange to have its programming simulcast in the old ATS 1 standard on some other station. For example, here in Nashville, WUXP Channel 30 and WNAB Channel 58 are converting to 3.0. WUXP's programming will be broadcast in the old digital standard over WKRN Channel 2, and WNAB's programming will be on simulcast on WTVF Channel 5, or maybe it's the other way around, or one of them simulcasting on WZTV Channel 17. Once the conversion happens, you'll need to rescan your existing converter box to continue to view the programming on the simulcast transmitters. The channel numbers should remain unchanged. To watch WUXP today, you punch in channel 30.1. You'll still punch in 30.1 even after WUXP programming is broadcast over the WKRN transmitter. Because the ATSC 3 signals are being broadcast over the same channels as existing stations, the FCC doesn't really have a dog in the hunt over the amount of time the transition to ATSC 3 takes. I don't think the government is going to require stations to stop transmitting old format ATSC-1 digital signals, at least not until there are so few old format signals left that it's not worthwhile keeping the old regulations on the books. On the other hand, the time may probably will come when so many viewers are watching the new ATSC-3 signals that stations don't want to continue spending money to simulcast in one. At that point, the FCC is likely to drop the simulcast requirement, and your existing converter boxes will become useless. I'm not willing to speculate as to when that will happen, but I cannot imagine it would be less than 5 years from now. New ATSC-3 signals have been broadcast in Phoenix for a bit over a year, and a few tests in other cities. Channel 17 here in Nashville has been running crawls asking viewers to rescan on the 23rd of June. I expect the ATSC-3 broadcasts to begin on that date. I expect several other cities among the 30 largest will begin 3.0 broadcasts this summer as well. On the other hand, COVID-19 has shot a big hole in stations' budgets. The number of people watching TV is way up, but most of the businesses that advertise have been closed. It doesn't do Olive Garden any good to reach a ton of viewers if none of them can go into an Olive Garden to buy anything. The situation is improving, but I suspect many stations' ATS-3 plans have been put on hold, awaiting the economic recovery. Those are the words of Doug Smith in Nashville, Tennessee, of W9WI.com. 2 weeks ago, under Micronesia, we had some comments from Bob Bierman in Florida about the gloomy future of shortwave, and here's some more from him. He says the problem is that governments have become internet-centric. Many governments have cut back or shut down with no market who wants to build shortwave transmitters. There's such a tiny market, and most have to be built by hand, as there's no way to have an assembly line for one unit. Back in the 1980s, I worked for a transmitter manufacturer. We built a number of HF units in power levels of 1, 5, 10, and 15 kilowatts, also 25 and 50. Most were 15 kilowatts, a few 25s and 50s. In the U.S., it's required your transmitter be a minimum of 50. That makes the cost of operation huge, and when you jump to 100 kilowatts or more, it goes up exponentially. With the right antenna, those 15 kilowatt units covered as well as many of 50. I remember one domestic station back in the early 1990s I went to help in service. They had a South American transmitter that was somewhat of a poorly made clone to the units the company I had been with had built. They also had a 10 kilowatt backup. The main transmitter was always having issues because of the way it was built. They were on the 10 about as much as the 50. It had little effect on their coverage to their targets. The best way to save shortwave is to allow a power level of 10 kilowatts to primarily service your one-third of the world, instead of everything being 50 kilowatts or more. Operating a 1.5 kilowatt unit would be about 20% of the cost of a 50. The words of Bob Bierman, Florida, of WRMI. And one more item from the Michigan ARE tip sheet. Reese Albright passes along a website of note. Some time ago, they moved the QSL Museum to a new web address. Some really neat ones there. It is www.dallasadmall.com/SWLQSL, all lowercase. The shortwave propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued June 8th. Mostly quiet levels of geomagnetic field activity are expected through July 3rd with A&K indices of 5 and 2. Solar flux 72, but dipping to 68 between June 17th and June 24th. Back up to 72 by the 27th. And that's World of Radio 2038. Thanks for listening. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week to conclude with a standard disclaimer.